Our gospel reading is from John chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but because to see Lazarus, whom he'd raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to see Jesus and put their faith in him. We give thanks to God for his word. I invite you to be seated. As we transition to the message time, I invite you to open your prayer and action guides and pull out the yellow sheet that says sermon notes and response card. This is a two-way communication tool. Hopefully you hear helpful scriptures and ideas in the message. You can jot those down. And then at the end, I'd love to hear what God is saying to you so I can pray for you and support you on the journey. As you get those ready, I invite you to join me in prayer. God, we come here this morning from all sorts of different places, with all sorts of different things on our minds and on our hearts. So we ask you to do what only you can do. Reach us where we're at. Transform us by your grace so that no one leaves this place the same as we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Well, I think springtime is finally upon us. The weather is beginning to warm up. Flowers are beginning to bloom. This is a season of new life and new growth. We're in a season of the church year called Lent. The English word Lent comes from the Anglo-Saxon word lengthen, which means, do you know, spring. Lent is springtime for the soul. It's a time to reflect on the new life Jesus offers and consider how God is calling us to grow in our spiritual journey. We're all at different places in the journey, but no matter where you're at, there is always room for growth. I was reminded of that while at dinner with some friends recently. We were telling a couple how our son is progressing in his cello lessons. And since they have experience with music, we asked their advice on how we could help him keep improving. And the wife said, well, the first thing you should do is pray about it. And the husband knocked his wife and laughed, and he said, you're telling a pastor to pray about it? He laughed, but truth be told, I hadn't even thought about praying about it. And I had to confess, pastors aren't perfect. We still have room for growth. Always room for growth. But growth is not easy. Ask any gardener. In the bad things, they seem to grow with no problem, right? I mean, weeds will sprout up anywhere, everywhere in your garden. But it takes some time, effort, and even money to make good things grow. It's worth the cost, however, to see the results of growth. The same is true with spiritual growth. With the help of our readings for today, we're going to unpack three truths about spiritual growth. Number one, there's always room for growth. Number two, growth is not easy. Number three, growth is worth it. Then we'll consider some ways we can nurture springtime in our soul. Truth number one, there is always room for growth. We see this in both of our readings for today. Let's start with our gospel reading from John 12. This reading sets up the last week of Jesus' life on earth and the climax of his ministry. He had just raised his friend Lazarus from the dead, and now he's reclining at the table of Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha. You might remember these two sisters from an earlier episode where Martha got mad at Mary for sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to him teach while she was serving everybody else. This time, Jesus, same table with his disciples and a host of other characters. As we take a closer look at these characters, we see there's always room for growth. One of the reasons is we have sin within. We see this most clearly with Judas and the chief priests. Judas was one of Jesus' 12 disciples. Jesus trusted Judas to take care of the money bag containing their financial contributions. Sadly, Judas abused his position. He stole. He lied. He put on a fake front to cover up his hypocrisy. Judas had sin within. Deception, lying, stealing, hypocrisy. When we don't address the sin within, it will spread and consume us in destructive ways, kind of like weeds left unchecked in a garden. It happened to Judas. What started as just taking a little bit of money here and a little bit of money there snowballed into him betraying his master for 30 pieces of silver. Long before that final betrayal, Judas had already started betraying his master. The chief priests are another example of how dangerous it is when we don't address the sin within. The chief priests were members of the tribe of Levi, people God chose to represent God to the people and people to God. They were the only ones who could go in the holy place of the temple. These are supposed to be the spiritual leaders of God's people. And yet when Jesus rose in popularity, they started to get jealous. And they harbored these feelings of jealousy and bitterness in their soul. And just like with Judas, the sin began to spread and consume them. They became so bitter that they were among the ones pushing for Jesus' arrest and murder. They claimed it was for religious reasons, but their true colors come out in this story. Because they don't just want to kill Jesus, they want to kill Lazarus too. Lazarus didn't do anything except be a living witness for the miraculous power of Jesus. And so they wanted to get rid of him too. Now before we point fingers at Judas and the chief priests, let me read you 1 John 1:8. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in truth. We all have sin within. Harmful thoughts, attitudes, words, behaviors. We might think, no big deal. I can keep that hidden. But left unchecked, sin will spread and consume us in destructive ways. But there's good news. The very next verse, 1 John 1:9 says, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we have any kind of sin within, whether it be deception, hypocrisy, unfaithfulness, betrayal, lying, stealing, jealousy, pride, selfishness, bitterness, immorality, impurity, We can confess that sin to God and receive his forgiveness and help to cleanse sin from our life. Like weeding, it's an ongoing process to identify the sin within and ask for God's help to remove it. And more than just removing the bad, we want to replace it with the good. And to do that, we take steps that stretch. New steps that stretch us to new levels of growth with Christ. We see this most clearly with Mary. Mary's the only one in her family that's doing something different in this story. Everyone else is following the same predictable patterns. Martha, serving, just like she did in the last story. Lazarus is a quiet figure in the background, just like before. Have you ever noticed how we can fall into a rut with our spiritual growth? We get stuck and stagnant doing the same thing that we've always done. Growth requires taking new steps that stretch us to new levels of growth. Mary took a new step. Beyond merely sitting at Jesus' feet, she anointed his feet. She brought an expensive jar of perfume, poured it on his feet, and wiped it with her hair. We'll discuss the meaning and significance of that action in a bit, but right now, I just want to point out, Mary did something new. She took a new step, and it brought her to new levels of intimacy and service with Jesus. There's always room for growth. Our first reading from Philippians 3 is another great example of this. Philippians is a letter that was written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Philippi. Paul was a superhero of the faith. He traveled over 10,000 miles on foot to spread the good news about Jesus. He started close to 20 churches by himself. He wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. He likely wrote this letter from prison, awaiting death for sharing his faith in Jesus. I mean, talk about a superhero of the faith. We might assume someone like Paul would not have room for growth. And yet right here in this letter, he says, I'm not perfect. I still have room to grow. Paul had sin within. For much of his life, he had tried to earn righteousness by following God's law on his own. And he found out that's a failed effort. Because our best intentions, our best efforts fall short of God's perfect, glorious, holy standard for our lives. No one can earn righteousness on their own. But then Paul encountered radical grace in Jesus. He found a Savior who was willing to give his life to pay the punishment for our sin. A Savior who rose so that we could have new life, new righteousness with God forever. And Paul addressed the sin within. He asked Jesus to be his Savior. And from that point forward, he pursued a righteousness that can only come by faith in God. Paul took steps that stretch. In this letter, he uses the analogy of athletics and running. And you can almost picture a runner taking steps towards the goal line. And he writes this. He says, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Truth number one, there is always room for growth. Truth number two, growth is not easy. It was not easy for Mary. Growth had a cost. There was a financial cost. The perfume Mary used was very expensive. It was valued at a year's wage. I don't care who you are or what job you have, that's a lot of money. But there was also a personal cost. In that culture, respectable women did not unbind their hair in public. To wipe Jesus' feet with her hair required Mary sacrificing her pride and her reputation for Jesus. Growth wasn't easy for Paul either. He's very upfront about the challenges of following Jesus. He says it often entails making sacrifices and enduring suffering for the sake of Jesus. It might even involve dying for your faith, like it did for Paul. There is a counterpart to this truth, however. Truth number three, growth is worth it. This is the difference between Satan and Jesus. Satan will tempt us with things that seem good in the moment, but they are not worth it in the long run. They only lead to more pain and problems. Following Jesus, on the other hand, may seem difficult in the moment, but it is so worth it in the long run. We could summarize the good news like this. Growth is worth the price because of the prize. When an athlete wins the race and is given the prize, it makes it worth the price it took to get there. Spiritual growth is worth the price because of the prize. So what is the prize? I've heard some say eternal life. That's great, but that can't be the prize. We do not earn eternal life. That is a gift, a free gift, given to us when we trust in Jesus as our Savior. So what is the prize? I think Mary and Paul would say the prize is having more and more of Jesus in our life. For Mary, the price of perfume did not even compare to the price that Jesus was willing to pay for her. Mary's anointing of his feet was symbolic of Jesus' upcoming death and burial. In that culture, you poured fragrant perfume on a deceased body so that it wouldn't smell. Mary knew Jesus loved us so much that he was going to give his life on the cross, that he was going to die to save us from sin and death. Mary did something else prophetic. With her hair, she wiped off the perfume. Now, that was something you would not do at a burial. And perhaps she was foretelling that Jesus wasn't going to stay dead. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, he would rise to new life in order that we might have new life with God forever. Mary's new step brought her closer to her Savior and allowed Mary to serve the one who would serve her in such profound ways. The growth is worth the price because of the prize. And then for Paul, following Jesus wasn't just a better alternative. It was of such surpassing worth that he considered everything else worthless garbage. Why? Many reasons, but one, Paul experienced tremendous joy through his relationship with Jesus. This joy sustained him through even the most difficult of circumstances. Remember, he was writing this letter from prison, where he would probably die. And yet he had so much joy in his heart that he wrote about joy 14 times in that tiny letter to the Philippians. And Paul wanted to take new steps that would stretch him so that he could have more of Jesus, more of his loving presence, more of his resurrection power in his life. I get what Paul is talking about. My family and I have started a new cycle of our prayer campaigns. We pray a specific prayer from the Bible every day of the week. We pay attention to how God responds. Throughout the week, we jot down God moments and God sightings. It takes some time and some intentionality, but man, it has been so worth it. We've been blown away at how God has been working through each of our lives. This past week, we prayed for God to give us wisdom. My 5-year-old daughter came up with the coolest Bible connections during our mealtime conversations this week. My son, Aiden, felt like God's Spirit was leading him to reach out to a new kid at his youth program. This kid was really nervous, and Aiden was able to help him get involved when nobody else could. My wife and her friends partnered with children's ministry to create a really meaningful Good Friday experience. And I can't wait for our children and our families to experience it in a few weeks. And this past Wednesday, I felt a prompting from God's Spirit to bring one of our homebound members to our Lenten service on Wednesday evening. And after the message, she shared publicly that that night she trusted Jesus as her Lord and Savior for the very first time. It's been so exciting to experience the presence and power of Jesus in new ways. I want more. Growth is worth the price because of the prize. More of Jesus. And so I'd like to close by considering how we can nurture God's springtime in our soul. I found a spiritual growth assessment that's really helpful. It lists 5 categories of growth. Each of them start with the letter E: exalting, evangelism, encouraging, equipping, and empowering. With each category, they offer new steps you can take and resources that can help you. And I thought it was important to add another E to the very beginning: entering. Entering into a relationship with Jesus is the first and most important step we can take in our life. And I don't want to take for granted that everybody's done that. I spoke to an elderly man not too long ago who's nearing death, and he didn't have peace with dying. I asked him if he'd ever trusted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. This man has been coming to worship for 50 years, and he'd never taken that step. Entering into a relationship with Jesus includes these characteristics. I know I've sinned and deserve God's punishment. I believe Jesus paid for my sins on the cross and rose from the dead so I can have new life with God forever. And I've asked Jesus to be my Savior and received his free gifts of forgiveness, eternal life, and the Holy Spirit. If you've never taken that step before, you'll have an opportunity to do that at the end of the message. And I'll briefly go through the other 5 E's of growth. As I do, pay attention to how God is moving in your heart. What ways can you grow? What new steps might you take? Exalting means putting God first. It includes these characteristics. How I live my life shows that God is my highest priority. I'm dependent on God for every aspect of my life. There is nothing in my life that I have not surrendered to or kept back from God. I regularly meditate on God's word and invite him into my everyday activities. I have a deep desire to spend time in God's presence. I'm the same person in public that I am in private. I have an overwhelming sense of God's awesomeness, even when I don't feel his presence. Evangelism means sharing and showing Christ's love. Characteristics include: I feel a personal responsibility to share my faith with those who don't know Jesus. I look for opportunities to build relationships with those who don't know Jesus. I regularly pray for those who don't know Jesus. I am confident in my ability to share my faith. My heart is full of passion to show God's love in a practical way to those who don't know Jesus. I find that my relationship with Jesus comes up frequently in my conversations with those who don't know him. I am open to going anywhere God calls me in whatever capacity to share my faith. Are you challenged yet? We got 3 more to go. Hang tight. Encouraging means becoming more like Christ through community. Characteristics include: I have a deep and meaningful connection with others in the church. I gather regularly with a group of Christians for community and accountability. I am quick to confess anything in my character that does not look like Jesus. I allow God's word to guide my thoughts and change my actions. I find I am making better choices to do what is right when tempted to do wrong. I have an easy time receiving advice, encouragement, and correction from others. I am consistent in pursuing habits that are helping me model my life after Jesus. Equipping means supporting ministry through serving and giving. Characteristics include: I regularly use my time to serve God. I am currently serving God with the gifts and passions he has given me. I regularly reflect on how my life can have an impact on the kingdom of God. I often think about ways to use my God-given gifts and abilities to please God. Those closest to me would say my life is a reflection of giving more than receiving. A review of how I use my finances shows that I think more about God and others than I do about myself. I see my painful experiences as opportunities to minister to others. Finally, empowering means relying on God. Characteristics include, I turn to God in spontaneous prayer throughout the day. I have found that prayer has changed how I view and interact with the world. I regularly practice the habit of praying for others. When faced with a difficult situation, my first response is to turn to God in prayer. I regularly use my time and resources to care for the needs of others. When an acquaintance shares a concern or need, I'm comfortable praying on the spot with that person. I regularly seek God's direction for my choices in life. As I went through those E's, could you identify any areas where you could grow? Any new steps that you could take? I sure could. There is always room for growth. It's not easy, but it's worth it. And the key is to keep addressing the sin within, to keep taking steps that stretch so that we can experience more of Jesus' presence and power in our life. Here's my challenge for you this week. I challenge you to take the assessment, to read the suggestions and the resources provided, and to pick one new step you can take to grow in your walk with Christ, with God's help and the help of your church. If you put your name and email on the response card, I will send you a copy of the assessment, and I promise I will pray for you and support you on the journey. At the bottom of your sermon notes is a response card, and we're going to take a moment now to prayerfully consider how God is calling us to respond to the scripture and the message for today. And as I said, if you put your name and email on that response card, I will pray for you and write to you. You can put your name, fill out the response, put it in the offering basket, or hand it to me on your way out. You can even use the code at the top to fill it out with your phone. Take some time with God, and then I'll close us in prayer. God, we confess we all have sin within. Harmful thoughts, attitudes, words, behaviors. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to pay the punishment for our wrongs and to offer us a new life with you forever. And God, I pray if there's anybody here today who's never before taken that step to trust Jesus as their Savior, that they would make today their day to do that. And if that's you, I invite you to repeat this prayer after me in your heart. God, I know that I've sinned. I know I deserve your punishment. But I believe Jesus paid for my sin. I believe he rose from the dead so that I could have new life with you forever. You gave your life for me. Now I give my life to you. I ask you, Jesus, to be my Lord and Savior. If you prayed that prayer, you just started a new life on earth and started a party of celebration in heaven. Please let someone know if you made that decision so we can support you on your journey. And God, we ask that you would help all of us to address the sin within, to take steps that stretch so we can experience more of your presence and power in our life and in our world. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.